Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you once again for this day, for allowing us to converge here at your house, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, we come recognizing that our only source, Heavenly Father, is you. And because of that, Lord, we recognize, dear God, that you have called us to a purpose here. And Lord, we thank you. And we ask, God, that you would continue to strengthen us as we walk, Heavenly Father, through darkness, Heavenly Father, as light. Father, you are good. You hear our prayers, Heavenly Father. You don't sleep or slumber. And Father, we thank you right now. I pray right now, God, that the word of God, Heavenly Father, will do what it is called to do. We know that it does not return void. And Lord, we thank you, God, that we will all be strengthened and we will all be renewed and refreshed, Heavenly Father, as your word goes forth. Father, we thank you and we praise you even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start off a little non-traditional here. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically fit, mentally awake, and morally straight. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. That is something that's etched in my head. I know to some it may not be very popular, but the tenets are still the same. The Boy Scouts of America, as it was previously known as, now known as Scouting BSA, Scouting Boy Scouts of America, has changed some. But what I remember about that organization, it has impacted me as well as many other men and youth across our country and across the world. That saying, the Scout Oath and the Scout Law, is said so that we can have something to live by. There's one thing about the Boy Scouts of America, the organization itself, the corporation, Boy Scouts of America, that many of us do not know, and I didn't know at one time as well. But the Boy Scouts of America does not own one Scout troop, one Cub Scout pack, one Explorer post, one Venturer post. The organization provides youth services, basically is what it is, youth training, leadership training to youth. It was started by Robert Baden Powell back in 1908 in England. It came to the United States in 1910. The idea of scouting was not produced by Lord Robert Baden Powell. He was a general in the British Army. But scouting was not his idea, which is not talked about much, which I learned many years ago. The idea of scouting came from Al-Kubulan, which is the name that Africa was previously known as, before the name was given by others. Robert S. Baden Powell saw tribes in Mafeking, Africa. And when he saw those tribes, he noticed how the men dealt with their youth. What they did, the discipline that they had, the rituals that they performed, all of those things Robert Baden Powell took, some say he stole them, I won't go that far, plagiarized if you want to say it, I don't know if he plagiarized it per se, but that is where scouting came from. It didn't come straight out of his head. It came from tribes in South Africa. A great program that he instituted, the Girl Scouts also came from that, but he noticed the things that he did with his young men, that he noticed the things that the tribal leaders did with their young men, the discipline that they had when they walked, when they marched, all of the things that they did were not haphazard. In fact, many of those things he took and he utilized them with his own army. So it's difficult to find information on that truth, but it is true. It doesn't change it any. Also, the merit badges. So in Boy Scouting, there are different ranks that you move up through. As you age, you have to be a certain age to reach those levels. There are badges, there are knowledge that you have to attain, there are merit badges that you have to do. You may have to learn how to cook. You may have to learn how to swim. You may have to do all sorts of different things. And all of those things helps a young man, one, to learn some skills. And then at certain levels, he has to fall into leadership roles. So for a kid to go from second class to first class, he may have to be a patrol leader. So he has boys there. The young man will confer with the scout master, and then he'll go back and talk to the boys and teach them whatever it is that he's conferred with that leader. So all of these things were done to help boys in their leadership roles, not only to be leaders, but also to learn how to be led, because everybody had to be a leader, but everybody had to be led as well. So this concept that Robert S. Baden Powell got came from Africa. And the Boy Scouts of America, which again is a great, has been a great organization, has gone through some changes, but it still has been a great organization. I'll tell you a little bit about what scouting means to me, or what it has meant to me. So I've had many experiences, myself, my brothers, we've all gone through the program. As I grew up in Lake Charles, the church that we went to, it was basically our boys' youth program. So if you were a boy and you were age 11, pretty much, you didn't have to be, but pretty much you were gonna be in scouting. So what it did for me and for many others, it taught us, one, how to be away from home. So during the summer, we would go to summer camp for about a week. We would kind of not totally live off the land. They would cook some things for us. However, we had to sometimes go out and suffice, build our own shelter. Sometimes it might get a little lonely away from mom, but the men would encourage you and say, hey, no, you can't go call your mom or your dad or whoever. You're going to have to stay here and tough it out. If you wanted to take a bath, you could or didn't have to. You were out in the elements. There was just a lot of stuff going on, but a lot of growth that took place. I may have spoken about a trip that we had taken to Cimarron, New Mexico, to Philmont Scout Ranch. It was a 12-day, 11-night hike. We hiked probably 100 and some odd miles during that time. It was a great experience for me. I'd heard about it as a kid. Didn't have the resources at that time to go, but several years ago got an opportunity to go and hike the mountains and camp out and learn a lot about being out in the wilderness. Many things that if you hunt, people that hunt have learned. You know, if we ate food, there was a certain way that we had to dispose of that food. We couldn't just leave it out because there were bears out there and there were coyotes and wolves and things that would come to your tent to get that food. So there was a method. You brushed your teeth. You didn't just spit out whatever food you had. There was a way you did everything. And all of these things lead to youth or young men or even adults when they're doing these things. It gives you a certain amount of discipline that you learn through going through this program. And on that trip, when we went, I just remember we brought some young men that were very inexperienced with scouting. They had been in it, but not as long as we had been in. And every night, we would build a little campfire, and we would sit around. And now, this place is vast. We're talking many square miles, hundreds of square miles. But we would go out. We had a guide for the first three nights. And we would sit down, and we had this thing we called Thorns and Roses is what it was called. So again, many of these kids were accustomed to having their cell phones. They may have had it for a day before it stopped working. You didn't have any cell service where we were at. And the first night I remember, they talked about how bad this was and they hated it out here and so on and so forth. They were just going on and on about this experience that they hated. So the next night we hiked and we set up camp and we cooked and we ate and we had thorns and roses again. And so we sat down and we talked about it again. So obviously the thorns are the bad things. The roses are supposed to be the good things that you had that happened. So we saw that there were less thorns the second night and then and more roses on that second night. So most of the kids were like, well, you know, this was pretty good. This was decent. You know, I'm kind of, this is okay, you know, but I just don't like having my Xbox or whatever it is that they play. So the next day was pretty tough, and all of this stuff we had to prepare for it, okay? We walked up mountains. Some of the older, stronger folk, you know, it wasn't as much myself. Going up that day, I felt it. So we were going straight up rocks, and if you've ever marched out in the mountains and gone up rocks, you don't want to have little tennis shoes on. So the hiking boots that I bought, I was not prepared. That was my first time ever walking up. And you could feel those rocks coming through those tennis shoes. You need real hiking boots to go up. So anyway, night three, thorns and roses, we're sitting down, and all of the young men are talking about their experiences. So they talk about the thorns. So who has thorns? So, well, you know, it was a little hot today, and it was rough getting up that mountain. By day three, all of those kids were like, man, I can't wait to come back here. Now, they're out in the middle of nowhere, no parents. The first night, in three nights, we had eight more to go. Three nights, those guys' mindset was totally different. And all of those kids were from this area, urban Baton Rouge area, metro Baton Rouge. And so that's one of the things that really stays in my mind about Boy Scouts, about what we did, about what happened with those kids. And when I see them, even now, it's been a good 7 years, I think, a big smile lights up on their face and mine as we talk about the experiences that they had on that trip, because it was tremendous. So that was one of the things that that we did there that was awesome. One of the things, I don't know how awesome it was, but on that trip, you learn very quickly that you don't need a whole bunch of baggage. You don't need a lot of stuff. So 12 days, 11 nights, I think I called myself packing light. I brought two pair of pants, two pair of underclothes, two shirts. I overpacked. 12 days, 11 nights. I overpacked. I had way too much stuff. I really only needed one pair of pants, maybe two underclothes or whatever, maybe two, and just some rain gear. And then you have your backpack, because your backpack is going to weigh around 50 pounds each person. So you're going up this mountain with all this weight on you. The other thing that was kind of interesting was that in all that time, you really didn't get an opportunity to take a shower until day eight. Yeah, so it gets pretty rough by day eight. Not only do you smell other people, but you smell yourself. And so it kind of helps you to kind of understand that, okay, it's not just them, it's you too. So you just kind of meld in and you do what you did. One night, some of the guys did take a bath, or they jumped in we were by a stream, and they got in the stream, but it was 50 degrees outside. Now, how they warmed up and how they did all that other stuff, I don't know. So these are just some of the experiences that we had on our trip with the Boy Scouts. One of the other things that we talk about from Boy Scouts, to Kobe and I, we always have conversation about our knives, and I brought this with me. I don't know if they can see it, but I keep a Leatherman with me, and I said that Boy Scouts of America is always kind of, it prepared me for a lot of things. But my Leatherman, it used to be when I was a kid, Swiss Army. Swiss Army was the knife that everybody wanted, so some may identify with that. But I carry a Leatherman now because it's a bit heavier. So what is a Leatherman? A Leatherman is basically, it has a knife on it. I learned how to use it in the Boy Scouts with a knife. It has a little serrated end and a sharp end. You can use it for a number of different things. It also has, I don't know if y'all can see this online, but I'm showing them. It also has a little pair of scissors on it. I don't know if you can tell. You can open it up and it has some pliers on it that you can use for a number of different things, to poke stuff or to grab stuff or to turn things. It has wire cutters on it. It has a lot of different things. I guess I'm giving a great ad to Leatherman, and that was not my intent to do. It also has other little tools on it. It has a can opener on it. It has a, you can use it as a ruler. It has a little ruler deal on it and all kinds of stuff. It has a Phillips head screwdriver on it. It also has a file. So it has all these different things on it. And when I don't have this thing with me, I almost feel like something's wrong, like I forgot to put on an article of clothes or whatever. But when we were in camp, we learned this thing, and I still joke with my brothers whenever we're using a knife, you're supposed to hand it to people a certain way. When the blade is out, you're supposed to hold it this way and hand it to them so that, one, you don't stick yourself. And they teach you when you're cutting things, you know, you always cut away so you don't cut yourself. So there's a lot of little things that you learn in Boy Scouts of America that are really good life skills. And as I said, to Colvin and I, we talk about different knives and things of that nature, because he's kind of into those things as well. But the Boy Scouts of America is a wonderful organization, again, that I've learned a ton from, that has helped me daily in my life. The tenets of it, as I mentioned in the Scout Oath and the Scout Law, are true. However, the other thing that I learned about Boy Scouts of America is that the Boy Scouts of America is not, as many believe, a Christian organization. It's not, it has Christian tenets, but any person or any religion can be in the Boy Scouts as long as they, quote unquote, believe in a God. I did not say God or our God, but a God. And I learned this during the time that I worked there. So we go different, anybody can come in. As long as they aspire to know of a God, they can be in the Boy Scouts. Now, is it still a good organization? I believe it is. No different than people can say that this knife is their God. I know who God is. So people are going to make up their mind about different things. The Boy Scouts has gone through a lot of issues and a lot of troubles. Now you don't see them nearly as much because of a lot of things that have happened in the past. They have some issues. The child abuse scandal that came out, which happened, well, I shouldn't say, I don't know exactly when it happened, but it's from many years ago, things that have happened recently. Again, these things, and I'm not trying to take up for any one organization or another, but child abuse can happen anywhere. That's why here at our church, we have a kid check program. When you go back there, these people have been background checked. There's a whole process that we go through. So that shouldn't be happening here because we don't have them kind of people here, and we are watchful. We watch out for wolves. If you come here with that kind of stuff, you shall be dealt with. It's not what we do, but that happened not through the Boy Scouts, because if you remember, I said they don't own a pack or a troop, but the affiliated or charter partners that they had allowed some of these things to go on. And I don't know the whole process. I didn't read the whole legal case, but whether or not they covered something up or not, that's between them. The pandemic was another issue that they had. They lost a lot of membership then. They've had a bunch of policy changes, many, that really hurt them. They had a bankruptcy. So they definitely have some issues. Change in societal norms. The numbers for Boy Scouts have been on a downward trajectory since the 1970s, which was around their peak. There were 4.8 million youth in Boy Scouts of America. In 2006, that number was down to 2.9 million youth. Last year, the recorded number of youth and Boy Scouts was 1 million. And I don't believe that that million, just knowing what I know concerning Boy Scouts, that's 1 million on the register. It doesn't mean that 1 million are active, which is why you don't see that group much locally anymore. Now, what does that mean? For the Boy Scouts, not just for the Boy Scouts, and I bring all of this up because scouting has had a tremendous positive effect on the United States of America. We've had some of our strongest leaders. We've even had a president or two that have been Eagle Scouts. Many, even if they weren't, have been tremendously involved in scouting. So an organization like Boy Scouts of America, when it has this strong demise, because a lot of our youth have, and I say youth, more so our families, have diverted our attention away from an organization like the Boy Scouts, more to youth sports and things of that nature, which are a lot less structured than what scouting is. It means that, especially for our boys, that they don't get those strong male figures, they don't get the opportunity to be in a group of their peers, be away from their family and learn some things and be around people that kind of hold them accountable. Now, some may say that in youth sports, that's the case, or in some other organizations that, well, yeah, we do those things. That may be true. However, it still means that you're relying on somebody that you really don't know that may or may not have had some type of background check or whatever. You just don't know. There's a lot more gray area to what they're doing. So they say sports builds character. That may be true. But there's always something to be had when you learn something, when you're able to put something here that you can use for later on. Now, I think, and this is me, I could be wrong, that the death of the Boy Scouts has been, and is going to be inclusion. Why would you say that, Brother Chris? Why would you say inclusion? Are you a separatist? Are you someone that believes that boys and girls shouldn't be? I do believe that boys and girls can be together. I do also believe that there should be places for boys to be boys and for young ladies to be young ladies. If that puts me in a bad spot, so be it, because I've seen it be effective. And I've seen where in certain situations when you try to do the things that Boy Scouts do, take a 12-day, 11-night hike, and you can do it with boys and girls. You can. But there's something to be said about doing it with just a group of boys, because there's certain things that boys talk about specific to boys, and there are certain things that girls talk about that are specific to girls, and those things are good. And there are certain things that boys and girls talk about together, and they should do those things as well. However, I believe that there should be space for each, or for all three, if we want to put it that way. But when we talk about having a specific inclusion, we're just all going to come together, and we're all going to do this together, it causes problems. Now, I believe that the Boy Scouts of America organization should have stayed as they were. Why? Because you had a base of people that were strong to that group. Were you going to lose people that are into inclusion? Probably so. Maybe so. Were you going to have some other groups that were going to spawn off of it? Probably so. But I do not believe that that group would be in the situation that they're in right now had they held to their guns. Okay? They allowed in some of their policy changes. Back in 2013, they said that kids could come in that were homosexual. Okay. So if you do that, if you bring kids in that are homosexual, then what's to say, how do you manage that when they become an adult? Do you tell them once they've earned Eagle Scout, well, no, you can't be a part of our group? That doesn't sound right. So in 2015, they allowed adults to be homosexual leaders in those groups. Now, again, I mentioned, so I'm not trying to do harm to one or another. Again, I mentioned that the Boy Scouts of America does not own a troop or a pack. It is the charter partner, the church, the civic organization, or whatever that owns that, that charters that pack. So they get to choose whatever they do. Am I saying put your kid in Boy Scouts? Am I saying don't put? I'm not saying either. I'm just speaking what the facts are. What I would do, whatever your skew is or persuasion is, I would check it out. I would go for a month to meetings. I would meet everybody. I would get their names. I would find out who they are before I did such a thing. So I'm not telling anybody not to. I'm not telling anybody that you should. But you should be wise in dealing with a situation like this if you were considering your kids for being in this. Now, as a body of believers, I think that there are things that we should do that helps us to stay in good graces with God. I think that we should be a people that are prepared. So be prepared is the motto of the Boy Scouts of America. But as a group of believers, I believe, and I'm taking that and saying, that we should be prepared. Be prepared for what? So last week, you know, we talked about the whole hell issue and going to hell. But I believe that we should be prepared, and the title of my message is Preparation Before Meeting God. So it'd be a simple message, but I think that we have to be prepared before we meet God. So at this point, we're going to go to, if you find in your Bible, Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. And when you get there, say amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Does everybody have it? If not, it's up on the board. So it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So, the first thing that we want to do in our preparation before meeting God, we want to work out our salvation before fear and trembling. So, regardless, whoever's listening, whoever's watching, everyone in here, I believe that, looking around, everybody, I believe to be saved and know that know who God is and what this process is. But we see that it says that we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because not just people that believe in God, knee is going to bow. But if you don't believe in God, your knee going to bow too. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's up to you. I don't have to do. You know, it's a lot of rebellion on earth right now. A lot of people saying what they going to do and what they ain't going to do, and they can't tell me this, right? Here, we believe, here, we know that every knee is going to bow. You're going to get down on your knees before Jesus Christ, and you're going to confess that he's Lord, whether you want to or not, which is a scary thing. And at the end of that, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, trembling is, I was cold this morning. It was cool outside, and I had goosebumps. I was almost to the point of trembling. Fear and trembling. We use, as Christians, fear to be our friend. How being scared be? You recognize that God is not playing. You know, I won't say what I said before, but God is real. Jesus loves us all and all of that stuff, but he not playing. Hell is real. God is real. What he says will come to fruition. If you don't believe it, then that's on you. You know, free choice and all that, that's great. However, we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling as we prepare to meet God. That's important because that's the first step. We have to have that. The next thing that we'll talk about now, kind of expound on that, if you go to 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. Second Corinthians chapter 11, 1 through 4. When you get it, say amen. I'm a little too far. Everybody's got it? Okay. And it says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. And this is Paul talking here. And indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, he's talking to the people in Corinth. This is Paul speaking to them. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom he have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So what is Paul talking about here? We can see right there in verse 4, talks about another Jesus, preaching another Jesus. And who is he? It said, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, he, being false prophets, preach anything other than the Jesus Christ that Paul has preached, then you need to move away from that. Because there's a bunch of other Jesuses out there that people are preaching of, that people are saying Jesus means this about a thing, when in actuality, that's some of the things that they're saying or some of the ideas of the doctrine that they're pushing is not even close to what Jesus is saying. Doctrines of just this prosperity. I mentioned last Sunday. Yeah, we believe in prosperity here, but everything is not about prosperity. We have to know how to be abased and how to abound, how to have and not to have, and still have the joy and the peace and the fruit of the Spirit that God talks about. So if anybody's coming to you with another gospel, I'll leave out the name of the denomination, but I had some folk come visit my house, you know, telling me about, you know, I need to read this book to learn more about Jesus. That's another Jesus. And they were false prophets, telling me I need to learn about this extra gospel that they have, this extra information that they have to enhance my experience with God. I got the information I need right here to learn everything that I need to know about God. I don't need an extra anything. It tells me that if I add anything to this, let me be accursed. I'm not trying to be cursed. I'm not trying to take anybody's extra book on what the gospel is. All I want to do is I want to make certain that in what I do, that I'm not preaching anything outside of what this word says. And we don't want to speak to anybody about anything outside of what this word says. I remember last week when I was making mention of Jesus pouring out his wrath and it not being mixed, I said, man, this sounds scary. I don't know what it means. So I went back and looked. So I don't drink. I'm not a drinker. It doesn't make me better or less than anybody. It's just not something I do. If you drink, just don't get drunk. It's good. But when he's talking about pouring out his wrath without mixture, I guess when you drink, you mix the drinks and it's supposed to make them, I don't know, less potent. I don't know. But when he was talking about pouring out his wrath without mixture, full strength, it's like washing your towels in straight Clorox. You just pour it on there, and if you leave it on there long enough, it's going to eat a hole through it. That's the kind of wrath God is going to have when he comes back. It without mixture, it's going to be strong. You're not going to be able to do anything with it. And we don't want to be up under that because we recognize that our knee is going to bow. Our tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And we also know and understand that God is not playing. We're not trying to be in that game, okay? So we want to make certain that what we are seeing and what we are talking about is Jesus and Jesus alone, amen? Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And this is the other thing that we need in preparation before meeting God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I think we talked a little bit about this last week as well. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Before we meet God, our mind has to be transformed. Our thinking has to be redone. We can't think as Christians. We have to continue to read and study the Word, because there are these other Jesuses out there, and there are these false prophets, as we spoke about earlier in Philippians chapter 2, 10 through 12, that are vying for our mind, our head space. And even though we are saved, there's so much out there that the devil's not going to come and just kick us over. He's not coming up, bam! He's not doing that. It's a little bit here. Oh, I just watched this. You know, just pull that off. A little bit here. It's okay. God knows my heart. A little bit more here. It's subtly. Small foxes are the ones that spoil the vine. He's not coming up, in most cases, just bam. And when it does happen and it looks like bam, it's because he pulled off all the little petals just daily, a little bit here, a little bit there, tossing it to the side, until he gets you to a point where he can then come in and start controlling things, which is why, and I know it may sound like a redundant record, but your mind has to be transformed, has to be renewed. And if it's not, you sit in danger of falling. And that's a very difficult thing to talk to most Christians about. Even myself, I mentioned that we just turned our TV off. I still look at certain things, but for the most part, we turned it off. And just in that alone, and I'm not telling everybody, you need to turn your TV off. Don't worry. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what it has done for me, almost unexpectedly, just certain things now. I'm not on the TV's time. So I'm old school. I know you can kind of stream everything and watch when you want to watch and pause it and hold it, watch it the next day. But I still would kind of watch the news. I hadn't watched the news now in a while. Now, I still get some news, but it has transformed some things for me. I'm not flooded with certain things. Even if you're watching PBS, I guess, or you know what's supposed to be family-oriented television, there's still commercials that pop up and you're like, what? You know, there's this stuff that the adversary is feeding at you, feeding you. And the more you do that, if your mind is transformed, the adversary is trying to draw that back away from you so that you see and feel things the way that he wants us to see and feel things versus the way God wants us to. So the mind and our thinking is very important as we prepare before we meet God. I'd like for us to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, our mind has to be renewed. But even with our mind being renewed, the Holy Spirit counsels us, God helps us, but we have to have our mind made up on certain things before we encounter them. Our mind has to be prayed up and made up concerning righteousness. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Are we there yet? Everybody there? Okay. So the other thing that we have to do before meeting God, chapter 3, verse 1, I'll read it. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" So here again, we see him getting on the Galatians, the church in Galatia. And he says, "Who has bewitched you? Who tricked you that you should not obey the truth?" So who tricked you? So in nowadays, you know, we all, if you read your word, we recognize that there are people that are saying all kinds of things, as I mentioned earlier. about another Jesus, right? But when we get saved and we latch on to that Jesus, I hear some ministers, I hear some people start talking about things that are foreign to the Jesus that I know, to the Jesus of the Bible. Not the Jesus I know, but the Jesus of the Bible, which is the one that I'm trying to know. I don't want to be bewitched. I don't want to be tricked into thinking that somehow there's another extra something on the Jesus that we know. And this is what was going on in the church in Galatia. He said, before your eyes, Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So you know him. You know what happened. You know the truth. Why are you being tricked? Why are you falling off into something else that's not right? Those are the things that we have to, again, focus on and know before we get to that point. There's certain things in our lives that before they happen, I know God has been dealing with me on certain things, and I've had to pray and meditate on the word in order to stay where God wants me to be. The other day, I was coming through a door. I was doing some work, and they allowed me in the building, and the doors were closed. I heard somebody, well, actually, it kind of happened simultaneously, so I was getting ready to go out the door to go grab something, and as I'm going out, somebody knocks on the door, and I'm opening the door at the same time. So the little fella just kind of walks in. He has a backpack on, and we're told that we're really not supposed to let people in. But it happened so fast, he had already slipped in. So I asked him a question. I said, young man, you work here? Who do you work for? So he's walking off, and he whips around as I ask him, and he turns, and he looks at me, and he says, man, I ain't got to take that from you. I ain't taking that from you. What's this all about anyway? I mean, I ain't taking this from you. So my initial fleshy reaction was to turn and run and grab the cat. However, this is where your mind, the meditation, the prayers have to be made up before you get to the explosion. Because in my mind, I wanted to explode on it. However, I was like, let me just leave that alone. I said, you know what, man? You're right. You're good. Go ahead. Because I understood that nothing good was going to come of that. Those are just things. Now, whether the adversary sent him or it was the devil, you know, I don't know all of that. I know that there's something in me that I don't like people talking to me a certain way. I don't like people dealing with me a certain way. I'm sure just like most of you all, maybe some of y'all cool, you know, y'all let people talk to you anyway. And you're like, praise the Lord, I've been persecuted. It's good. You know, God is still working on me, and I see that the prayers and the meditation and all of those things are working. However, when that happened, if I had not made up my mind that, you know, when people do those things, talk about me, you know, and, you know, I need to be acting like a dead man when those things happen, not reacting to them, not going after people. I don't even really need to say anything. And for the most part, I did. I did kind of look at him like, and in my mind, I wanted to tell him, man, you don't know who you talk to. Boy, I'll grab you up and slide you across this floor. But that's not, as a Christian, and then I'm going to go witness to him after I do that. You know, the Lord is just so wonderful, and he just wants you. Yeah, after you bust my head. But, you know, so those were answers, and I thank God for it, that I didn't react in a way that was not the way God wanted me to react. But if we do those things, and I know that in the past, I would have reacted differently. Totally did. At the very least, I would have said something and, like, really stepped his way. But that time, I did, and after, you know, I kind of came down a little bit, I was like, Lord, thank you. I really was. I was like, Lord, thank you. Thank you for helping me to just stay where I'm supposed, stay in my lane where I'm supposed to be and not do anything that's rash or over something that's menial. Now, in my mind, you know, because I did the Scout Oath and Law, trustworthy Lord, you know, they told me, you know, don't let people in. I really didn't want to do that. So, you know, I could have gone and told the security guard or whatever, and he's probably just somebody working there as well. He probably had a bad day. So hopefully when I see the guy, I can witness to him and talk to him about, hey, man, you doing okay? You know, we can maybe build something from there. But if I had reacted the other way, not at all. Preparation before meeting God. So all of these are things that we need to continue to do. We stay on our knees and we avoid foolishness. Let's go to Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. When you get it, say amen. Went too far. It's the last book. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, guys. 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 20. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. So it says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So here we see in this book here, 1 Timothy, he says that we should be committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, talking. So, if you're a Christian, you know, and I hear some folk, you know, folks say things, you know, I don't believe you're going to hell because you cuss, but you can. It's not what we're supposed to be doing. So, if you are, you need to be praying and asking God to help you to kind of back away from that. Because there's certain things that should come out of our mouth. And people say stuff. We get it. But there's certain things that should come out of our mouth a certain way. Why do people want to be drawn to us versus the world? Because, man, it's fun. The Bible says it. Sin has pleasure for a season. Man, you can go out there and whoop it up. You can do all this kind of stuff. But then how do those that are in darkness know that you're a child of light? So if you're into vain babbling, you know, just talking about senseless stuff, and you're cussing all the time. And not just cussing, but the things that you're talking about are profane. I know some people that are Christians, and I'm like, man, that's that conversation you having right there. I'm like, in my mind, I want to say, man, where you go to church? But, you know, the things that you're talking about, that's not things that, as a Christian, that you should be discussing. You know, you're always talking about the ladies. Man, I don't touch, I just look. What you mean, bro? I thought you was saved. I thought you was married. You know, I've had to tell people that sometimes. That's not how we should roll. And it's not because I'm up here doing this. This is long before I was done. Like, man, what you talking about? You need to check yourself because you're about to wreck yourself. So, you know, we definitely need to be careful with some of those things. But then he says, oppositions of science falsely called. Says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, committed to you, avoiding vain, profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. So what do we mean, science falsely so called? So I believe, and I could be off on this, oppositions of science falsely so called, that I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and we were talking about how scientists have come up with all sorts of things that have really taken our youth off track. So if you are a child that's in school and you're trying to learn about God, don't get it from public school. I'm not telling you don't send your kid to public school. You know, and I may have said something like that, but you need to be just checking. You need to be super, super sensitive to what's going on in their mind. When I grew up in elementary school, you know, we didn't talk about Big Bang Theory and all these other things. And so it's easy when this type of rhetoric is being forced on them at an early age, they take things and put it in their mind and it becomes truth to them at an early age. I remember them talking about, I was interested in archaeology and the dinosaurs and, you know, paleontology and all of these things. And I remember them talking about radiocarbon dating, how they could, you know, go get a rock and they could do this carbon dating thing, man, and they could tell it was 100 million years old and all of these things that they were doing. Well, as I kind of studied and looked at it, I'm not saying it's all made up, but it ain't what it's cracked up to be. A lot of things that we have learned, we need to unlearn them. And not that you're going to go to hell if you hadn't. However, it clouds our thinking. The science that is being brought, well, science needs to, we don't need science to tell us that God is real. We don't. I think that there is some science that corroborates that God is. But as people are saying, well, you know, what the science say, what God says, that's what's first and foremost. Because ultimately, even your science, if the rock is supposed to be 100 million years old, I still have to try to believe that. So somewhere your mind gets transformed to believe that the rock is 100 million years old or not. Now, I'm not a person that they call them young earthers or, you know, old earthers or whatever it is. You believe what you want to believe. I'm not trying to get into that debate. What I am saying, though, this false science that's being propagated on us as believers in a lot of different things, and we don't have time to go into talking about all of that, you need to do your own research. You need to find people that not just believe like you, but people that are reputable and credible when you're researching this stuff, because the adversary has all sorts of things to hang up our mind on things so that when we're talking to people and people in the world are talking to us about things, they try to make us look silly. But you need to have your facts together, and you don't need to rely on science, but you do need to know what you need to know in order to move forward in conversations with people. And then he says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. There's some people that are Christians that have fallen off the Christian bandwagon over science or over stuff that some false prophet or false person or false doctrine has brought them, whether using science, whether using other things outside of Christianity to add to it. And that's why I use the example of, you know, just a little bit being picked off. It doesn't all happen at once, but sometimes the adversary, you know, if you open yourself up to certain things, the adversary will have somebody come drop something silly in your mind that gets you off the path to meeting God. And you don't want to go there, because we talked about what those consequences are on yesterday. If we would here, we talked about, again, Boy Scouts of America, how it has changed its policies, changed its name. It's not Boy Scouts of America anymore because of all of its inclusiveness now and all of the things that they have brought into it, which is totally different. And not that they didn't have problems way back when, because they did. And they changed some things, which I think were decent. But when all of this inclusiveness was brought in, the organization, I think the tenets are still good, but I think the change that they have done is not what it should be. What we do recognize in opposition to the Boy Scouts is that our God is reliable and he never changes. So we can stay with him and know that everything that he says is true. You know, in this hour and in this day and time, we definitely have to stay prepared to meet God. We're going to do one more scripture. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this will be our last one, and then we'll conclude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. I thought I was there. Okay, hold on one second here. Did I say 1 Thessalonians? I'm over here tricking myself. I'm looking at 2nd. And it says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. This is super important because we recognize that we are children of light and not children of darkness. It says here, I'm going to go back to verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He says that Christ will come back as a thief in the night, and so the passages before that kind of give reference to what some may consider the rapture. Whatever your beliefs and thoughts are about that, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being prepared, preparation before meeting God. We as Christians, the Bible has given us enough information that when God does make his return back, we shouldn't be so surprised. We shouldn't be caught unaware. We should be, we're, he says he's coming back like a thief in the night. We are children of the day. We shouldn't be walking around worried, is Jesus coming back to get, no. Because if we're living according to the Spirit of God, then we're not worried about that in the first place. And if we're walking in light, then we shouldn't. And if you are a Christian and you think that you're walking in light, but you're constantly worried about, is he coming? You may want to do some self-examination to know whether or not you're walking in darkness. Because if you're walking in darkness, then yes, you should be concerned about the thief in the night. But if you're walking in light, then you can see. You have some perspective on what is going on. You shouldn't be worried. Your heart should be joyful. Not joyful that all of these things that are coming with it, but joyful knowing that you're prepared. That you're prepared to live in eternity with Christ. So that's how we should walk as those in light. It says we are children of light and children of the day. We are not of night, nor of darkness. We should not be worried about darkness. And so, yes, we talked about a lot of things that go on in the world, but we're not worried about those things because we're going to continue to push forward as God has said for us to do and not fall back, not shrink back, not be fearful, but continue to move forward even though the world is dark. We are of the day. We don't have those worries. We don't have those concerns. We know that God died for us. We're going to remain sober, as the word says. We're going to put on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet and then the hope of salvation. So with those things, we are shod with what we need. We have on what we need in order to combat all of the things that the adversary has said about us. Again, in our preparation before meeting God, we're going to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're not going to accept another Jesus. Somebody come with another Jesus or another gospel. That sounds weird. We're not doing that. Our minds are going to be transformed. We're continuing, not just the initial transformation that we may have received through salvation, but the transformation that we do by studying the word, by showing ourselves approved, because what we are gathering is going to affect the direction and the things that we, and ultimately the things that we do. We are not going to be tricked. We're not going to be bewitched. We're going to move forward. We're not going to do like the church in Galatia where they were tricked off on some things. We're not going to be tricked because we're going to stay the course. And we're going to walk, not as people that are afraid of darkness, but we're going to walk as though we recognize that we live in the day. We're going to walk soberly and know that God has good things for us. So in everything that we do, we want to make sure that our preparation, that we're prepared, that we're not afraid, and if we're not, if you're not prepared, if you don't feel like you're prepared, that you make the commitment now to be prepared. And how do we do that? We talked about it here. We need to meditate. We need to pray. We need to ask God for his clear direction so that we know that our salvation is secure, that we have secured it with fear and trembling. And if we do those things, then that meeting with God, when we get on our knees and say and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we can do it in confidence, knowing that the end will be eternal life with him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now for this time. We thank you, God, again for your goodness, recognizing, dear God, that nothing good that we do, we don't do it without you, without your prompting, Heavenly Father. Yes, there are things out there that we can do that appear good, but Lord, the things that you have for us, dear God, as we pray and seek you, you will motivate us and keep us right with you, and we will, by our works, show that we are sober and that we are children of the day. Father, we thank you for each and every person that is here. We pray, Lord, that this word has been good and has done what it has been called to do. Lord, we thank you for each person. We pray for traveling mercies for those that are on their way home. And Lord, we give you all praise, all honor, and all glory, even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.